Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
You left and you started singing like opera notes, and you were like, oh, like I can't do it. But I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea you could sing like that.
I got tricks.
No,
girl.
You have the most vocal tricks. Like, I don't even know. I almost was tempted to be like, sing some opera into our microphones, but I didn't prepare you for that.
That might be disturbing for listeners.
Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Should we open our mocktails? Oh, whiskey.
Oh, shit. That's the best.
Oh, shit.
I think that's fine. Can we just leave that? That's the opening of the Kyle's Ready. That was amazing.
This van has been through worse. Don't worry.
Cheers.
By the way, we are having mocktails.
Yes.
So don't worry about us. And Bonnie's face is on this can.
Yeah, isn't that wild? It's a dream come true.
It is a dream come true. And I
how cheesy is it
mocktail.
That I brought my own drink for the show with my own face on it?
Nobody has ever brought their own face drink to the podcast, so I'm really thankful for
whenever
this.
We're going to the river and we have these in the can in the mm-hmm. cooler, I'm always like, can I have one of the cans with my face on it?
Yeah. Do you get I love this company, Big Hat. I love them.
Yeah, super cool.
We're giving them a free shout out because we love them that much.
Yeah, we are. Because we're drinking their drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I just met this guy for the first time. I was like, hey, can I get some of those drinks with my face on the can? Like, I've never had one. And it was like a year ago that we made this deal. And I was like, I should probably try one of those and see if they're any good.
They're really good.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, I had one at Saxon Pub.
Yeah,
they're awesome. They have them in the fridge.
They're basically kombucha. It's the same chick that makes, the chick that makes these runs a... I can't remember what the name of the kombucha. Cosmic Kombucha.
Oh.
Made in Austin. Yeah, it's the same thing. And then I think they add carbonated water and they put people's faces on the can.
Well, that's fantastic.
Right?
I also drank a Jamie Lynn Wilson and a Django
Walker. How does she
taste? They all taste fantastic. And if they'd like to sponsor this podcast, we have a deal for them.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited you're here.
Thanks,
Kyle,
me too.
We're ready to go. Okay. Perfect. We're in my van down by the river.
Oh, yeah. Actually. This is where you always thought you would end up, right?
I've really made it. I have not made it at all.
You have made it. This is actually making it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to redefine making it and accept that this is it.
Well, we just had like this awesome talk right before where I was like, every day I'm like, what am I doing
with my life?
Yeah.
I know, right?
And you were like, this is how it's always going to be.
I was like, this is the question I've been asking for 20 years. Yeah, what did I do? Who doesn't like me that made me end up in this spot? Yeah.
Or am I just like no good and nobody told me?
Right, but somebody please just tell me. I mean, I can do something. I mean, I can't do anything else, but I'm going to keep doing this, but it'd be good to know.
To know if I just suck or something. Oh, she's crying.
Yeah.
I just had this total, I almost said spark plug moment. That's wrong because my truck needs new spark plugs. This light bulb moment. Remember when we were almost going to live together?
Oh my God.
I forgot about it until this exact moment.
Wait, which point was this? Well, this was before you were going to live on your friend Tiffany's property in a trailer. That was one idea.
In a tiny house. That
in a tiny house.
That didn't
right.
either.
Was this when I was moving back to Texas?
Yes.
And I was trying to figure out where I was going to live?
Yes. So
we talked about getting a place in Wimberley.
No, we signed a lease in Dripping Springs.
We did.
Let me remind you.
I forgot about that. House was really cool.
I just thought about this, and I think we both blocked it out of our memory because how frustrating, because you were in a U-Haul
driving back
from Nashville.
That's right.
And I had already told my apartment I was moving out.
That's
so I had
right.
nowhere to go, and they had already rented out my apartment.
And the guy that was renting us the house decided not to rent it out. He decided to sell it.
It was like right when the Austin market was getting like hot, but he should have, if he would have waited like two or three more years, right. He would have really.
Oh yeah, totally. So that was what, yeah. That would have been 2017. It was a really cool house. It was on like 5 acres. It had chicken coops.
And you were bringing your piano.
Yes.
In a U-Haul.
I totally forgot. We signed a lease.
Yeah, we signed a lease. And it just like, I forgot about it too, because it was such a traumatic time, because I ended up moving everything into a storage unit. And so did you. And
that's
I
right.
ended up living out of a storage unit basically and gypsying around for 9 months.
I've done that multiple times in my career.
Yeah, it's really fun for a while, but then...
It's like, oh, I have no bills. This is so great. I can go anywhere I want. I'll just stay on tour. And then it's like, you come back from being in a van for 3 weeks. It's like, nowhere to
I remember when I moved into my apartment and I got like a fork, a stamp, and like I printed something. And I started crying because those are three things that you can't do.
In a van?
Yeah. Like you can't just go get a fork.
Yeah.
Or
right.
Print something.
Or when you're staying at someone's house for free, you can't like spread out and like shit all over their couch. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't do that anyway. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you can.
That's
but.
So wild. I wish that had worked out.
I know. Because we would have been roomies.
We would have had so much fun. We did that on a whim. But we went and found a really cool place.
Like, well, you found it.
Did I? My mom probably found it. Okay. She's found almost every house I've ever lived in.
Well, you, whoever found it, and then I went and looked at it without you and said yes, and it was actually Ryan Bingham's fiddle player.
That's right.
Ryan Bingham's doing really well. Do you think he could give us some like reparations for that emotional?
I think we should get some emotional reparations for that. It was really traumatic.
What's more traumatic
is that I think I ended up moving somewhere else and dating somebody else because I didn't live with you. I ended up meeting someone, and then I lost like years of my life all because we didn't sign the lease.
Okay.
On that house.
So he needs to tack on
that
some.
That guy needs to pay up.
He needs to pay up.
He owes me years of my life.
I just had this idea of like, oh my gosh, we're going to be just like riding partners and best friends. And then you're a professional chef. So I was just going to have the best.
I was going to feed you.
It was going to be the best years of my life. I knew it. And then that rug just got pulled from me.
I totally forgot about that until you said yeah. it. Do you remember that night we played at the winery outside College Station?
Yep.
You said I left. I'm having a memory of what happened, but you tell me what you remember.
My favorite part of the night, because I was like, my voice was shot at, by that point. You left and you started singing like opera notes and you were like, oh, like I can't do it. But I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea you could sing like that. You have vocal tricks.
I got tricks.
No,
girl.
You have the most vocal tricks. Like, I don't even know. I almost was tempted to be like, sing some opera into our microphones, but that didn't prepare you for that.
That might be disturbing for listeners.
You can sing like, because I feel like my voice is like 20 years of whiskey and yelling and bars. And
oh,
like,
my voice is 20 years of whiskey too. There was just a little bit more of a like classical training before the whiskey.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, you talk like. And then you can sing also like you never had that. Like, it's so wild. Like, I've never heard anybody like at 3 a.m. sing an opera moment. And I was just like,
I must have been warmed up.
Jaw drop on the floor. It was the best.
I was remembering that I was supposed to be staying at my friend Barbara's family's cabin after that gig. And I left the gig. This is in my drinking days. And I left the gig and we couldn't find it. We drove around for like an hour trying to find the cabin. So I came back to the winery and it was all locked up. All the gates were closed. And so I had to climb the gate, like scale the gate. I used my van. I pulled it up to the gate and I climbed on top of my van and I climbed the gate. And then I ended up sleeping on like the floor in the green room, like because I couldn't find
it. Tiffany is going to love this story. My best friend, Tiffany. Because they sold it and it was some of my favorite memories were there. Like that was some of my favorite memories. I mean, like I used to go when I was in college, I went to watch you. This was when I first started playing music my senior year in college, which was crazy because like you're nice.
You came to see me play when you were in college?
I came to see you play and I went to Saxon Pub by myself in the back and you came after your show. It was just you and a piano. And I remember thinking like, I can't do music full time because I'm gonna have to get a lot better because you were just like killing it. And you came behind like to the edge of the bar at Saxon and Robert Earl Keane was with you.
Was he?
Yeah. And
just
I was
watching the show.
Uh-huh. And I was like, you are the coolest person I've ever. And I was just sitting there like acting like I was cool with my like Diet Coke or whatever.
You
I was
you are
drinking
cool. And look at you now.
And now we're
look
in the
who's
same
on
van.
Whose show now.
I trapped you in my van.
Yeah.
That's creepy, actually, I think.
That's wild. I do remember when you were first coming up in Austin, because I was like, who's this other BB?
Double B's. We have so much in common. Double
I know.
B's. We
Our
both
names.
Have little dogs.
We both have little dogs.
We're both amazing
it
cooks.
Does sing. Are you a cook?
No,
oh,
that was
oh, okay. That was
I,
a lie.
In my mind, I'm getting a lot better. During COVID, I got a lot better. So did Paul. But I'm not like catering level like you.
Well, I'm not catering right now, but I did cater for a minute.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com.
I was a private chef during the COVID.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Did but you sing
I don't think
while
they liked
cooked?
My food because I got fired after like 9 months.
No, that's a long... If someone doesn't like your food, you get fired after like nine
Maybe
hours.
Maybe after a week or something. Yeah. I charged a lot of money because it's hard to ever do anything else for a living when you've played music for so long. Because it actually... I was like, wow, our jobs are actually a lot easier than I thought they were. Right? Because mm-hmm. we always complain about how hard it is and all the hours we work that we don't get paid and we drive and
right.
all this, you know, 22 and a half hours prep for a 90-minute show or whatever.
Yep.
But then... When I was cooking for this family, it was a family of four, but they were three different diets. So you had a diabetic, you had a vegetarian, and then you had two meat eaters who wanted like pie and like jalapeno poppers and like, you know, so, but I was getting up, and I do everything from scratch, and this is a mistake because this is part of why I got fired. They wanted more stuff made with Velveeta and canned food. And I made all my own chicken broth. I made everything from scratch and made my own tortillas, made my own pie crusts, like all that stuff. And
you
so
quit talking dirty to me, like on this podcast, you know,
spicing it up. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I was on my feet, like working that job for like 8 to 10 hours a day. And I was like, holy hell, this is hard. Yeah. Chefs have it hard. That's why chefs have cocaine problems. I've realized.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Apparently like that's a big thing in the cooking industry is that like, because my chef friends have all said, don't ever own a restaurant. You'll be the first person there every day and the last person there every night. You'll get 4 hours of sleep and you'll have a coke problem because it's the only way to like do your job to run a restaurant, because you're still, even though you're the chef, you're still in charge of everything, right? Like the menu and like
right, yeah.
the way everything goes. And anyways, I kind of lived out my dream of doing something else for a living, you know, during COVID. And I did like it. I love to serve people. I found that out about myself. I didn't know that because I'm so selfish. Like, who would have thought I like to serve people?
We're all a little selfish as artists.
But, like, I like to curate events. Like, nothing makes me happier than I'm going to have a table full of people and I'm going to make them a great meal. And they're not paying for it, so they're just showing up and they're going to like whatever I make, right? Not like, I don't want to cook to order, but like, I just like having people over and, you know, having like interesting conversations around food. And so I like to create that environment for people. And so I do love to cook still, but my dream of opening a restaurant or having a catering business is out the window now.
Well, it's kind of just like music. It's like if you could just be creative or if you could just sing or whatever, it's all the other stuff that comes
right.
with it that kind
it's
of gets...
It's booking the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing the logistics, marketing. I hate marketing. Yeah. Hate it.
What? I mean, what are we now? We're like marketing, PR,
you
video
said it earlier,
editors.
Like, I don't even know what my job is anymore.
I don't. Am I a singer?
I sing less than I do all the other things put together. Yeah,
the 90 minutes on stage is like the easiest thing that I do.
Right. And it's hard to even enjoy it because of everything it's taken to get to that 90 minutes. You're
right.
I'm like,
Kyle, are you taking
horrible mood
video footage of this for my TikTok later? And it's like, no, I should just be enjoying the show. Do you warm up your voice? I'm switching.
I do. Yeah, I do warm up my voice. I actually do some of my opera stuff like.
Yeah.
Do that, and I do like scales, and then I do it with the.
Ooh, I don't do that one.
Yeah, those are great because when you are putting all your concentration into like getting the air through and keeping your lips moving
uh-huh.
in that, then it's reminding your voice like, we don't need you. Like, all these muscles in here, we don't need you to sing. Which, you know, my voice teachers growing up would be horrified if they saw what I did now, like the way I sang, but they would always be like, see that singer with the veins coming out in her neck? Like, that means they're doing it wrong. That means there's vocal damage, right? Or anybody with a rasp or a cool voice basically has a damaged voice. That's what they would always talk about. But
Right.
Character damage.
Very interesting. That whole thing. But when I had a voice coach for a second, when you're on TV shows, they give you like a free voice coach, you know?
Did you do a TV show?
I did like The Voice and I did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I made it to the blind auditions and no one turned around. And then Blake was like, "You're better than that song." And I was like, "Well, I didn't choose this song." And then they didn't air my audition. Go figure. So I was like, okay.
She said, "Well, y'all, your crew chose it for me."
Right. But she said that I don't really sing as wrong as I talk. I talk very wrong because I talk really low and forceful and da da da. And that can be like,
yeah,
way worse.
I went, there were a few years ago, I guess I was in my early 30s when I was going through this thing on the road where nothing was coming out. Was like everything hurt. It always hurt. And I told my band, I was like, "Y'all, it's y'all's fault. Y'all are too loud." Right. And I'm having to scream over you every night. And so then I was like trying to sing all my songs like this. And it was like just trying to just keep going. And it was like everything was making me lose my voice. So I went to see a voice coach in Nashville. There's a really great vocal clinic in Nashville because anybody who makes a living in the music industry essentially loses their voice.
Yeah.
So, I went to see this coach and it was the same thing. Well, they had that thing where they stuck like the camera down my throat and they looked to see if I had nodes, right? Like right. The ultimate killer, they say. But I didn't, I had small beginnings of nodes, but they didn't send me to a voice teacher. They sent me to a speech, I guess, like, is it a speech pathologist?
Yeah.
Or a speech, yeah.
Something like that.
So I went to this lady and yeah, she taught me how to talk.
Yeah.
Same thing. Cause I talk, you know, I talk really loud or whatever.
Low. And I'm like, yeah. And you're like yelling over people. So like after COVID, I was losing my voice again, which hasn't happened in a long time.
Right.
But it was because I was so out of practice, but it was not from singing. It was from chatting with
right.
the people afterwards. So I stopped doing that and I immediately got like the worst backlash and people, "Oh, you've got too big for your britches," and all this stuff. And I was like, "No, I literally can't do my job.
I can't come talk to you outside." Yeah, yeah. Same.
And it sounds so dramatic, but it's like, and actually too, male vocal cords are built different than female vocal cords.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
I think that that's true. Don't go. I really think that's
theory.
True. Like it's like a muscle. So
okay.
I don't know. I just feel like Paul doesn't lose his voice as often, or, you know, maybe I talked to like Courtney and Jason,
loud.
Like they don't lose their voice.
Huh.
Like Courtney loses hers more than Jason. Like I think that there's something about just, it is a muscle and it's kind of the same. And you're supposed to cool down. That's a big thing. I don't ever do that.
I didn't know that either.
It's like you're not supposed to just
like warm outs instead of warm ups,
yeah.
Warm downs.
I don't know exactly how they would go, but like, I don't know, but it is very, it's just such a weird thing. And I love talking to like other singers about it because you feel so crazy.
Right.
And when you lose your voice, then you're stressed out. I mean, if I have a day where my voice doesn't feel at least 80% or above, I'm stressed out the whole day and I can't sleep or be my normal self.
If you know you have a show coming up and it's like everything hurts, like it's not gonna be there, I'm gonna go to the mic, it's not gonna be there, but it is always there. Like
when you sing though, you sing with such great dynamics that I'm always wondering how you do it, like especially with monitors, because you can like, you just sing so dynamically and it's really fascinating to watch. Like I think Key West, I mean, I know that people will tell me stuff about shows that I don't process the same way or whatever, but your Key West show was like one of my favorite shows ever. It was so good.
Thank you.
We were all crying the whole time. You sang so great. Your band was so great. Harmony, Kelly on bass. And I mean, just and you had Foy there, which was super cool.
Yeah.
There was like a trombone at one point.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Your band is great. It was just a great show.
Thank you.
It was really good.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Foy because he's been one of my musical idols since like 2010. That's how long I've been listening to him. And I feel like from listening to his records, I was like, wow, the power isn't in being loud. The power is in being quiet.
Yeah.
Because he has an incredible instrument. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boyfriend. Like he's incredible. He is like it's like a God thing. Like when I hear his voice, like the very first time I heard his record, I was like, who is that? Like, mm-hmm. Who is that angel? And he has the ability, you know, to do that big, cool, like Sam Cooke, like Ray Charles, like bluesy thing. And then, And then he flips into this incredible falsetto, like 14-year-old boy sounding head voice. And but I learned a lot from listening to his records, because he used his power is in the quiet. And before I ever even got to be friends with him, I was already like kind of entertaining that. And he's, I feel like I've gone more that direction since I've been with him, because, yeah, it's really, you know, it's so fun to hold an audience in your hand, like, you know, and they love to hear you get big and like do the big raucous stuff, like the big rockin' stuff. They love that. But as an audience member, you also know when you go to a show, like your ears get worn out.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is so rude of me, but I go to shows now and it's like, I can't be there for more than like 3 or 4 songs. I just get, I'm not saying your shows, I'm saying everybody's shows, you know, like even if I'm opening for somebody and we're doing a whole tour, it's like, I don't stand there side stage and listen to my favorite artist for an hour and a half. I can't do it. Like, my ears get worn out. And I don't know if that's just because I have, you know, if I'm ADD or something like that, but I think about that when I'm on stage, like, these people have come here and they're trusting me with their ears. And so I, you know, I could try to impress them and show them how loud I am all night, but like they need to take a ride, you know, not just sonically, but emotionally, you know, taking right. them on that ride. And so,
oh, you totally do that. Oh, it's fine.
Oh, your avocados. Oh, my God.
Guys, there's no alcohol in this beverage. No, I was going to check the time because I know you have to go soon. But I'm just really happy you're here, and your voice is so special and your show is so special. And I hope that everyone that gets a chance to see you live will do it, especially artists, because you really have a way with, like, and even your records too. You're not like, you can blow it out of the water, but you do use your, I know I've said dynamics.
Dynamics. We're sponsored by Dynamics.
This is brought to you
by Dynamics.
By synonyms.com, because that's what I need to be right here for me. Anyway, you're just so great. And I'm so
thanks,
glad you
Bri.
Sat here. My dog wants to say goodbye
Hi,
to you.
Whiskey, come see me.
And she really likes Bonnie. She got so excited when you're here. And we love you, and I know you're going to dinner, so thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm proud of you, because it's a hard business. Whether you're a male or a female, it's a hard business, but it really kicks your ass when you're a female.
Oh, yeah.
And when I started in this business, there were 3 of us, essentially. It was me, Kelly Willis, and Pauline Reese.
That's right.
And it's just really cool to me. You know, I'm about a decade older than you, but coming back from Nashville and seeing, like, this whole, like, a dozen young girls like your age that had come up and like done the thing and written songs and learned to play instruments and booked your own shows and driven yourself around. And I just think it's awesome.
And now it's like 50 young girls. I mean, I'm meeting new ones all the time. I mean, it's like, and they'll say, you know, you're the reason I'm doing this. And I'm like, well, I like, it was you and Kelly and Pauline, like you said, and then like Chris and Kelly and like Charla kind of started coming yes. into things. And it was so weird because we were kind of the only ones, and now it's completely yeah. changed. Not to say that we're trailblazers, like the no, reason for like, our genre, but you were a lot of my reason. So
well,
good for you.
I love it, and I appreciate that.
And can you just say like $2.99 steak and eggs on
$2.99 steak and eggs on Thursday?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Onlyvoice.com. That's instead of OnlyFans, we're gonna do Onlyvoice.com.
Sponsored by Dynamics.
I love it. You good, Kai? Thank you. I love you.
I love you back.
That was fun. Great.
I just wanna say thank you for the happiness under the sun. Happiness under the sun. Happiness under the sun.